Hello and welcome to Puffcast.
Wow.
Your Harry Potter happy place. This
sounds kind of depressing, actually.
It's a very tired episode 37 on August 18th, 2021. I am your host, fully awake, not tired at all, Melanie.
And I am your host, Juliana, just equally as awake and alert and clearly not having any mental delays. But you know what, Mel? This is a good topic to talk about today because both of us are kind of tired.
Yes.
And we could definitely use a magical summer holiday, which is what we're going to be talking about today. Magical summer holidays in the wizarding world.
I think we're going to have fun talking about this. But first, we might jump, as usual, into our news and feedback section.
Do-do-do-do-do-do! News. You know, I almost forgot to do that, Mel. My brain was like, I feel like something goes here. And that's what it is.
Well done.
Welcome to the, at this point, feeling like the 2 a.m. news where all the wackos come out and you're very tired when you're watching the news. So welcome to the do-do-do-do-do-do news at 2 a.m. That was supposed to be an owl, but it was not. Oh, well.
Sounded more like a seagull, and that is what brings our news.
Yeah, so accurate then.
So accurate.
First, we would like to start with a shout out to one of our newest listeners named Hallie, and she is a Ravenclaw. We just want to say hello.
Hello. We hope you're doing good and that you are awake and happy.
Yeah.
We promise we're gonna cheer up in a moment. So
yes, this is the warm-up phase of the podcast right now. And then secondly, we just want to shout out a happy birthday to Harry and Neville because it was their birthday. You have a note here, Mel. Neville's birthday's date marks the countdown to our very first in-person meeting less than a year now. Oh, yes, Mel and I will be meeting in... Wow, okay, sorry. We'll be meeting in a year from Neville's birthday because she got married and we'll be having a celebration and I will hopefully be going to Finland. Yay!
Isn't it fun to think that... Finally, we will meet properly in person and we are going to throw a huge party that is, of course, just for Juliana. Don't say anything else. But keep it a secret. It's only for you.
I'm honored. I will also be performing at that party per my own decision. Mel did not decide to hire me as a performer. I told her that I was going to be putting on a performance that I think I might have.
I kind of got the impression that I don't have much of a choice, but I just have to endure it, so...
Yes. Especially if I can get other people to join me, then there's really no stopping me at that point.
If anyone wants to, I might actually videotape that and just gonna upload it somewhere for you to see.
Okay, so more into some fandom news. Mel, would you like to tell us a little bit more about the fandom side of the news?
Yeah, of course. So we know already for quite a while that for everyone who has watched the show on Netflix, The Crown, that our very own Imelda Staunton will be playing Queen Elizabeth II, and it will be two more seasons, the fifth and the sixth, and she will start in the fifth. And the fifth season is anticipated to come out in 2022, so we still have to wait for a while. But now we have actually seen the very first picture of her in her character.
Mm-hmm.
And she actually looks very close, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, pretty similar.
Yeah, they did a very good job. I do have to say, though, the hairstyle is just perfectly like Umbridge, isn't it? Just the head is missing, and the pink bows and everything, and the kittens. I guess that could be, at the same time, Umbridge as an elder lady. She looks very nice, I think, and I'm sure she's going to do a fabulous job playing this character.
Yeah, I think they did a good job casting her, and she looks very close to Elizabeth. I've not seen The Crown, actually.
Oh, you haven't? Okay.
No, I haven't. I've heard it's very good, though, obviously it's very popular, so maybe I will start watching it. But we both know I'm horrible about watching TV shows, so I probably will say that I will, and I never will, knowing me.
Well, I just wanted to note still that as of 2020, the estimated production budget for The Crown has actually been reported to be $260 million.
Wow.
That is a lot. And apparently that is making it one of the most expensive television series in history.
Wow. And that's a Netflix original, too. And they're known for not being, like, the most cost-heavy productions, per se. They don't put out bad shows or anything, obviously. But they're definitely not along the lines of, like, Disney, who shells out, like, a ton of money on the regular for things.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
This must be, like, a huge hit for Netflix if they're willing to spend that much money on it.
But if you ever watch it, I think you can tell that they do put a lot of work and effort into it, and money, apparently, because it is very, very detailed and very pretty. It's great. Yeah, they have had so far very great cast all through the show.
Very exciting.
Yeah. We have some more Lego-related news, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah, I do love the Legos, but you're much more of a collector of the Legos than I am, Mel. And this is a really cool kind of item that isn't as much a building item as it is more of a collector's item, because it doesn't look like there's too much to actually fully build out, because a lot of these things are either very simple builds or just kind of items, per se.
I think they have a lot of kind of smaller items, and they are done very quickly.
Yeah.
What kind of Lego do we get?
So this is the Lego Harry Potter Hogwarts Icon Collector's Edition, and it is a recreation of some of the series' most memorable imagery brought together in a celebratory display piece created with adult enthusiasts of Harry Potter in mind. Oh boy!
Ooh, so for us?
Yes! And so this is a set that is mostly made out of what looks like display pieces that you can either display together or separately, with the main piece being Hedwig with the letter on a set of books and the golden snitch. But this set includes Harry's wand and glasses, Ron's chocolate frog, Hermione's potion tray containing 5 bottles of potions and magical ingredients including Gillyweed, Felix Felicis, and Polyjuice potion, Tom Riddle's diary, the golden snitch, and a school scarf that is customizable to suit any Hogwarts house. And on the top, we have an enchanting ensemble that sits Hedwig the Owl. Oh, it also comes with 3 exclusive golden minifigures. So if you're one of those people who's been collecting the golden minifigures that have been coming in the boxes that were, I think, the last year or so that were special edition boxes, then there also are gold minifigures of Albus Dumbledore, Minerva McGonagall, and Rubius Hagrid, and a display stand that you can use to celebrate 20 years of Lego Harry Potter. Hooray. And this can all be yours for a mere $250.
Yeah, I was about to say that it actually looks really nice, but $250 is just
a lot of money.
It's just so much money. It kind of starts to bother me a little bit that it looks like it's not that huge of an amount to build. So it would be kind of nice to know how big the dimensions of this whole thing is. I mean, I suppose it's gonna be a bit smaller. They are so expensive. It's crazy. The only thing that I think is gonna take a little time to build together with this one is Hedwig. She looks a little bit more detailed. I think you will build the books sort of as well, but the rest is kind of very simple. But I guess that's why it is set also, that it is created with adult enthusiasts in mind. So kids would not be able to just buy that unless they have very generous parents who would buy that for them.
Yeah. I'm looking at the picture on the website, and it looks like Hedwig is probably about the size of someone's head, because that's about the same size as she is.
Hmm.
The book stack is about one person's head tall, and then she's like another head on top of that.
Yeah,
so it's like, it's a decent size, but it's not like humongous in any capacity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It looks very nice, though. I really have to say that. And I'm sure it would look awesome to have Hedwig in my glass, glass cases. You should definitely check it out if you have a little bit of money saved up and you can allow yourself to treat yourself, then I would say go for it.
This set is open for pre-order now, and it will actually be out on September 2nd.
Oh, that's very soon.
Yes, very soon indeed. And then our last bit of news is that we are also getting some really cool Funko Pops.
much more easy to get your hands on.
Yes. Dangerous. Yes, much more approachable. They are about $25 a pop. They come with a shop front from Diagon Alley with a attached character that belongs with the shop front. So the first one they have out is the Head Goblin. We're assuming that it's Grip Hook, but they have labeled it on Target as the Head Goblin. And also you get Gringotts Bank behind him.
Mm-hmm. The link that you added here... When I had a look at it, as you just mentioned, it is for Target specifically. So is that, again, just something you can only get when you are in the US and you have a Target and then you go there and you get it? Otherwise, you have to try and get it from online somewhere and you have to pay like at least 3 times the amount of money.
I think it actually is mostly US-based because I have someone I know who's in Canada who had someone order it for her and then ship it to her. So I don't even know if you can do it in Canada.
Yeah, because I have noticed that with a lot of merch lately and with Funko especially, that you always have these special editions. I don't know if it's only specifically an American thing. You also have that with a lot of book or DVD editions and stuff, where you have specific places like Target or Walmart, or, you know, that you can get it only from there.
Yeah, I think it's just at Target right now. Mm-hmm. Just in the US, as far as I can tell. But, I mean, most of the time, like, the regular pop stuff you can get, like, all the time, anywhere. Mm-hmm. But it seems like with some of the specific collectibles, you can only get in the US.
Yeah.
So, but they're very cool.
Yeah, and there was, like, a picture of shadowy, like, hints of what is coming still, but we think we can gather from the shapes what they're going to be.
It looks like it's going to be Hagrid, Harry, Ron, and Ginny, each with a different storefront behind them.
Yeah. Okay.
Which is very exciting.
This is But I'm Not Wrong, the weekly podcast for all of you interested in news analysis and social commentary and maybe some media criticism thrown in just for fun. I'm your host, Gail Turner, and every Monday a new episode brings you a new take on what's going on in the world, mostly focused on the United States and Canada. We'll talk about important things like Black Lives Matter or abortion suppression efforts in the States, or why rents can't be met by minimum wages being paid. Or we'll bring you the complete weirdness that is Elon Musk, or the nonsensical notion of Piers Morgan actually being a journalist, or give you insights on how women are learning to shut down men's mansplaining. You can listen for free each Monday from wherever you get your favorite podcasts. But if you want to catch the feed directly, you can also do that through our website, butimnotwrong.com. Stay engaged, everyone.
So our last bit of news is a very big announcement that we have now, which is the winner of our summer giveaway.
Woohoo!
So the winner of our giveaway is...
Jamie Andrews!
Yay! Congratulations!
Yay!
I suppose you can expect Juliana packing up your package and sending it your way very soon.
Yes, 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 yes. Today we are not talking about our holidays specifically that we have taken yet, because we will be talking about our dream magical holiday. But we are talking about holidaying. For anyone who is listening who's not from the European side of things, holiday is the same thing as vacation. When I first read the Harry Potter books, this was very confusing to me. I was like, there's only one holiday, and that would be the holiday season, and that would be the Christmas season, thank you very much. And people are like, yes, I take a summer holiday. I was like, what the heck is the summer holiday, like 4th of July? And they were like, what is 4th of July? I was like, oh, okay. Clearly we're not on the same page here.
You know, that is also something I had to learn first, because in school I have learned the British English. Mm-hmm. And only through movies and TV shows and some books I have learned more Americanized words. So vacation and holiday, you know, it's kind of the same, but I tend to say also holiday. I am on holiday. And today is a holiday, for example.
Yes, yeah. We say, to like Christmas is a holiday, but we go on vacation.
Yeah, right.
So anyone who's listening who is confused, I'll just be saying, if I say vacation, I mean holiday, and if I say holiday, I mean vacation. We're just going to use those words. We want to start off first by talking about the holidays that Harry, I was going to say endures, because some of them are like really aren't great. Some parts of them are good, but I definitely wanted to just briefly talk about those, just because all of the years except for one, he actually has to go back to the Dursleys to maintain that protection. But it's interesting because all the ones after he goes to Hogwarts for the first time, he doesn't actually spend the whole summer holiday at the Dursleys. It seems like he will be a lot of the time, but then he ends up going somewhere else.
I think it is a development of friendships there as well, because after the first year, yeah, he has made friends, but it's not all that close yet.
Mm-hmm.
Molly and Arthur are saying that, hey, why isn't Harry coming to stay here? Because they are not aware in the beginning that the Dursleys are so awful. They only learn that bit by bit, and then they realize, maybe we should give him the chance to actually have a little bit of a joyful holiday also throughout the summer break, and are making sure that he's invited to all the things that we are going through in a moment.
And nothing is more joyful than having your life threatened by Voldemort and then having to hide away for multiple summers in a row.
Yeah, that's another thing. But what I wanted to still note is that he's becoming part of the Weasley family. So he's not just a friend anymore that one of their sons has at school, but he's actually becoming a sort of son to them.
Mm-hmm.
And the unofficial Weasley kid.
Yeah, and we see that in what he does over the summer break. So the summer before year two, he's broken out of the Dursley's house by Fred, George, and Ron and goes to the Burrow, kind of against Molly's chagrin, and Arthur really could care less.
He's only interested in the car.
Yeah, making sure that it worked properly for them and that his crazy antics and his crazy tinkering actually worked out. And then before year three, he spends about half his summer at Diagon Alley in the Leaky Cauldron because he runs away. And then Minister Fudge is like, ah, Harry, wouldn't I love to harbor a fugitive? And and so he gives Harry free room and board after he breaks a bunch of rules that should have gotten him expelled. But hey, whatever. He's Harry Potter.
Those were the best times for him still. You know, he could do whatever.
Honestly.
It was fine.
Yeah. Before year four, we go to the World Cup, which is very fun. And then year five, oh no, we're at the Order headquarters, and it's just so much fun staying here and just contemplating death, the destruction of the world, and cleaning out old cabinets and drawers.
Being harassed by a painting and a really strange house elf.
Yeah, just a bucket of fun. Yeah. And then before year six, we get to go to the Burrow again. And then before year seven, oh, we start a jolly old camping trip. There's nothing like starting a jolly old camping trip to start off a holiday.
Yeah, why not? I mean, it's forever the moment for the fandom, or for most of the people in the fandom that are cursing this camping trip that apparently is way too long in most people's opinion. I never got that feeling, but I don't know. Are you one of those who thinks that that was very unnecessary and way too long of a vacation in quotation marks?
It was a lovely vacation that they took. I don't know. I feel as though it's just ever so slightly too long for me. I feel like it went on just a little bit longer than I would have liked, and I would have liked a little bit more plot action happening in there. But on the whole, I don't think it's too long. I think it's just like a smidgen too long. But I know there are those people out there who just want to get rid of the whole camping trip altogether.
But so many things are happening in that time.
Yeah.
I think. And many of them are actually quite important moments, even though they seem maybe very trivial or very small. I think they are quite important to shape the friendships and what is going to happen in the future. So,
yeah.
And on how they find the Horcruxes. And I think it's actually quite important.
Yeah. I mean, book seven stands as my either favorite equivalent or second favorite book. I just feel as though my main gripe with the seventh book is that there are a lot of loose ends that kind of went untied. Like, we kind of brought in the Hallows without, like, fully really needing them 125,000,000 5%.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, a few things that I would have wished, like, kind of had nice little bow ties on them. But that's just me as a person wanting to have closure on every single tiny thing that happens. So that's just me.
I feel always that in actual life, you also don't always get all the answers. And that's why I feel
like... No, it's frustrating.
Yes, of course. But that's how life is. And why shouldn't that be in books as well? It would be perfectly neat to have every single question answered. But I feel like that just makes it even more real. But maybe I'm the only one who thinks that could be.
Well, I can tell you what, 16-year-old me was not very happy about some of those things. We've made peace thus far.
You can write a story as perfect as you want to. The writer himself or herself will never be 100% okay with what they have produced, and the fans will never be completely satisfied either. So you cannot please everyone, whatever you do. It's pretty much impossible.
Yeah.
But yeah, back to holidays and vacations.
Yes, back to holidays and vacations. So we don't really hear too much more about a lot of the other wizarding families or students going on holiday. The only other two that we ever really get full mention of in the books is the Weasleys when they go on their famed summer of 1993 trip to Egypt. And in the summer of 1993, Arthur Weasley won the galleon draw and received the prize of 700 galleons. And he and his wife spent most of the gold on a month-long summer holiday to Egypt to visit their son Bill, who was working there for Gringotts Wizarding Bank as a curse breaker. Huzzah!
Which I think is really nice, because they never get to do anything big like that. And you could argue here that they could have saved the money in a better way, because, you know, they don't usually have that much, and they could have used it for other things. But I actually really love that, because
me too.
For once you can do something big like this and have a beautiful vacation where you can make lots of memories that will hold your whole life, you know. And give your children something unusual for once. I think it's actually really nice that they did that.
Yeah.
Plus, it's a great reason to travel there, of course, if your son is working there. And you can go and see him, and he can show you all the wonders of Egypt.
Yes. So besides the Weasleys, the only other people we get mention of going on specific holidays is the Grangers. Mm-hmm. So Hermione goes skiing with their parents. She goes on a trip to France with her parents. She stays at home for the summer with her parents. Her parents definitely have money. Like, let's be real here. They definitely have money.
They are dentists. I don't know what they really... What does a dentist earn?
Dentists make a lot of money.
Well, at least according to the Grangers. So I don't know. I don't know any dentists, and I never asked one. But it to me, it feels like these holidays that are described here at the View ones are very muggle-like, aren't they? Even for the Weasleys.
Yeah, that's true.
They are going to Egypt, and there is for sure a lot of magical stuff happening. There must be. I mean, we have the pyramids and all of that. So... But we are not really being told what exactly they go and see and do, except for seeing Bill. The Grangers, of course, they are muggles, so you will have a muggle vacation that is very, very typical. Skiing.
That seems like a very posh type muggle thing. I don't know if I'm using that word correctly in any capacity, because I don't speak British English. I speak American English. It sounds like a good vacation for them to go skiing. We don't hear about a lot of the wizards, what they do on holiday now. So would you like to speculate with me?
Yes.
What we think they would do?
Let's speculate what others might be doing on their holiday, magical or muggle-like.
Yes.
We should start with the Lovegoods. What do you think?
I imagine them just kind of picking a random town and just being like, today we're going to apparate to this random town. And they just apparate to a random town and they walk around. They're like, wow, the windows are really big here. And just taking in every tiny little detail of a town, not even really caring exactly where they are, but just kind of living in the moment, I guess, in whatever town they so happen to be in.
That is actually something that I do every summer.
Mm.
There will be one or two small day trips in my every summer holiday where we just pick a town or a place where we haven't been before. And we just go there and we check before online if there are any nice restaurants where I can eat something. And just go around and enjoy a nice day and maybe find something, some fun bookstores or
mm-hmm.
other things. I think that can be actually really nice. And I can see that for the love goods. But I have one more idea actually. And I think they would be the type that would actually fly over to Finland, to the north, and visit Lapland and go to see the real Santa. Because the real Santa lives in Lapland. As we all know, right?
Yes, yes. I have met the real Santa before. Yes, I know him well. He's a jolly old fellow.
So I could see that happen, that they would come over to see the real Santa and bring him some fun gifts, have a good, jolly conversation with him. They would probably be hard to get rid of again because they would have so many questions and want to inspect all the...
I feel like Luna would want a job as an elf. Once she got there, she'd want to work for him as an elf.
Yes, they would volunteer as being an elf or take care of the reindeers. And
Oh, perfect. Well, I think we've set them off on a great vacation. So next on our list is the Malfoys. And I think the Malfoys would go to, of course, an all-inclusive resort where everything is very fancy, but in a cold, dank, nasty, like, personality-less place. Just like a mountain of nothing, but everything is included and there's a sauna.
This is funny now, because for two things. First of all, you wrote in the doc, the Malfoys would go to a resort in a cold place. And now you're mentioning sauna, so I'm thinking they would come also to Finland and they would also go to Lapland where it's cold and they would meet the Lovegoods and it would be immediately ruined for the Malfoys that the Lovegoods are there and they will be, oh, we know you, let's vacation together.
And they would not be able to get rid of Xenophilius in any capacity. And Lucius the whole time would be like, this is terrible, what is going on? I think so. After that, they would go to a white peacock farm, Mel. They would just go to their second home where they have all the white peacocks they could ever envision. But it's a vegan white peacock farm, though. So they're treated very well and they just get to walk around wherever they want.
Okay, that would be important to me, but would it be important to the Malfoys? Because they are just, you know...
The best bred peacocks are ones that are, like, allowed to mate freely, amongst other white peacocks, of course. Just kind of be happy little white peacocks. But there'd be one white peacock in the corner that is, like, very spiteful and just very, very just mad all the time. Mr. Malfoy would walk over and be like, this is the peacock for me. Yes, I see.
He has the right mean stare to fend off all my enemies.
And then he and the white peacock have a staring contest. And I don't know if birds have eyelids or not, so I'm assuming the bird wins.
Ay, ay, ay. Okay, that sounds good. I think we have set up two very good vacations for two families.
Yes. And so next we have the Longbottoms, Mel. Where do you think that they would go on their vacation?
So the Longbottoms are, for me, very family-orientated. So I think we both have the same idea that they would have a good family trip to somewhere with a destination where they can have fun.
Yeah. I feel like they would go on those classic family trips, you know, like Disney World zoos, things where everyone wears the same matching shirt and they're like, I'm part of the Longbottom family trip. And everyone has it. And Neville's just sitting in the back. He's like, I don't really want to wear this shirt, Gran. And she's like, put on the shirt, Neville.
We are proud Longbottoms.
And then they have a proper fight between themselves as a family. And then they all end up eating ice cream, like, begrudgingly in the corner, being like, I like ice cream. I told you liked ice cream. Now put on the shirt.
But, you know, in the end, they, I think, would actually still enjoy themselves in a nice amusement park and have a good time. Mm-hmm. Of course, on family vacations, you always have, especially the more people you have.
The more drama you have.
The more trouble you have because everyone wants to do something different. But grandma is gonna put the foot down and it's gonna send you in that direction and you will follow.
Mm-hmm. And I definitely think Neville is the kind of person who would be like, Gran, can I bring Harry with us on the trip? Because he sounds like he doesn't have very many, like, cousins or anything, or kids his age to...
He doesn't have any siblings either, so...
Yeah, I think that he would bring one of his friends on his trip, too.
Oh, or he could take Luna with him also. That would be also fun.
Yeah, that would be nice. And then, you know, Xenophilius would want to come. And he would be very into the matching t-shirts thing.
You know what? I could imagine that when Neville is younger, he would hate the idea of that everyone is wearing the same shirts. But later on, when he has his own family, he would keep that tradition. Because it just reminds him of Gran. It would be just nice. That's how it is sometimes. As a kid, you hate certain things, and then later when you're older, you're like, that was actually really nice.
Yeah, so that's kind of fun.
I want to keep doing that, so now I'm gonna do it. And Grandma is like, I told you so.
Yeah, she's looking down from heaven being like, I told you, Neville. I told you. Okay, so next on our list of people we would like to send on a vacation, this gentleman definitely needs one. This is Dobby!
He is probably the only house elf that will ever even consider having a vacation.
But that's true.
Still not a very traditional vacation where he's really having free time. He will kind of still do it in an elfish way because he can't help himself.
I mean, I personally think that Dobby's dream vacation is following Harry Potter around. Harry Potter! I'm here, Harry Potter! Here I am! I came to follow you! Here I am, Harry! Hello!
What can I do for you, sir?
Oh, sir, what can Dobby the house elf do for you today? I'm on my vacation, so I chose to spend it with you!
I'm sure Harry would be absolutely delighted.
Oh, I'm sure thrilled. And what a vacation for Harry as well. I also envision Dobby as, you know, that person who's like on a tour, who's just like way too into things and asking the tour guide like 50 million questions. They're like, wow, ooh, ah! And they're like reading every single little tiny thing in the pamphlet that you're given. I feel like that's also Dobby too. He's just overly enthusiastic about everything that he's learning about.
Ooh, think about how many souvenirs he would buy and bring them all to Harry.
Oh, he'd be wearing them all. He'd have like all the shirts and like all like everything. So many hats, like all these pins and lanyards and just... I feel like if he ever came to New York City, and one of the things that's kind of classic of New York City is the street vendors that set up their little, not carts, but stands, I guess, along the street. And you can buy like knockoff stuff and like all these I love New York and I love whatever shirts and stuff. I feel like Dobby would pretty much just buy everything off of everyone that he passed. And he'd come back with a Hermione's bag full of stuff for Harry. And he'd just keep shaking it. And stuff would just keep falling out. And keep falling out. And keep falling out. And Harry'd be like, is that all? And Dobby'd be like, no, sir! I bought you more!
That would be fun.
Yes.
So, then we have the Dumbledores. And we are specifically thinking of Albus and Aberforth. Well, they are the only ones left. We are thinking of him as the good, seasoned, aged men.
Yes. They're going together as begrudged brothers.
Yes. I somehow feel like, how would they even get the idea to travel together for vacation? That must have...
Here's my idea, Mel. You ready? So, one of Kendra Dumbledore's last wishes was that her and her sons would bond together, and she told this to both of them while she was on her deathbed. And so, once a year, Dumbledore shows up at the door. Aberforth! Hello, it's me! I came here! It's time for our yearly trip together. You know, Mother would have liked us to have our trip together. It's time to go. I brought snackies. I know you like goats, Aberforth, so I planned a goat farm trip for you.
I was just thinking he would only agree to it if he would be allowed to take his goat with him.
Yeah, he was like, oh, I'm only coming if I can bring Bob the goat.
Why does he sound so weird?
I don't know. You should ask him. That's my natural voice, okay? Don't make fun of me.
Oh, okay. I apologize, Mr. Aberforth Dumbledore.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, so, but we imagine that their vacation would be full of fighting and arguing and maybe not the most pleasant.
Yeah, probably not.
I was imagining that Albus is definitely the one who is leading this vacation. And
oh, yes.
He's just taking Aberforth everywhere. And Aberforth is gonna be just very miserable while Albus is taking pictures of everything. And they have to do the signature post in front of a sightseeing spot
Smile, Alb! Smile!
And he would always go first to the souvenir shop and get something from there and dresses himself and Aberforth up in it. So imagine hats and shirts with the I heart and then whatever town you are in, big letters on your shirt. And Aberforth, in every picture, he would be just looking very miserable.
Yeah.
While Albus has a good time.
I feel like Albus Dumbledore is one of those siblings who really relishes in making his siblings suffer.
Yeah.
But speaking of being miserable all the time, Mel, our next friend who's going on a vacation, I have an idea of where I would like to send him, but our next friend is Snape, who is just a peach of a person.
Mm-hmm.
What a joy. This man, I think out of everyone here, needs a holiday the most.
Okay, where are you sending him?
I'm sending him to Monowee, Nebraska. It's the loneliest town. In 2010, the United States Census called it the only place in the entire country with a population of one. Because there's only one person that lives there. And she runs a library there.
For whom?
I guess you can come into the town and borrow books from it. That library must be on part of a system of libraries, so that way you can use your card there and otherwhere else, because she'd be the only one with an actual card.
Yeah. So, to a very lonely town. Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah, he can go sit at this old library and brood to himself.
Yeah. To that, I want to add to my former headcanon that I have built up, steadily growing, is that Snape would just invite me on the Sundays of his vacation for a formal vegan feast, and he would politely grunt at all my jokes and secretly think that I am hilarious. We would have a good time. I think so.
Thank you for joining me, Melanie.
You are so welcome.
I'm so happy you're here today.
Yeah. I hope you enjoyed the curry that I made for you.
I was kind of hoping for pizza, but you know, I'll take the curry.
You always have to try something new, Severus.
I know. My therapist tells me that too, but she tells me a lot of things.
See you next Sunday.
Okay. Goodbye.
Bye-bye then.
Wow, I'm glad that Snape is living his best life.
Yeah.
Okay, so our final person on our list of who people we're going to send on a holiday is Newt. And I know the only place that Newt would go. Arizona!
You're sending everyone to the U.S., though.
But Newt comes to the U.S. willingly, and he goes to Arizona!
He goes through the whole world, though. He's not only going...
No, but I stand by the headcanon of Puffs the Play.
Do you want to say that once more?
Arizona! I stand by the headcanon of Fantastic Friends and Dude, Where Are My Fantastic Friends? Because that is canon. If you don't know what we're talking about, go watch the Puffs the Play production of knockoff of Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. Just Google search Dude, Where Are My Fantastic Friends?
So I think, though, that he would travel anywhere in the world. And I specifically think that he would be crawling all over the places, in the bushes, hiding away, taking notes and watching the beasts, taking notes of their behavior and mating rituals.
Yes.
We know he definitely does that. He uses them on occasion when it's needed. So yes. I think he would be having a great time traveling around, maybe with Tina.
Yeah.
She would probably pop off for something more exciting than sitting in a bush for 10 hours and just watching the same little creature, whatever he has found. So she would probably want to do something more entertaining and eat hot dogs.
As she does. With lots of mustard. All the mustard.
Yeah. This is what Newt does to compensate Tina's patience for him crouching around in bushes all day. The next day he's gonna take her to the hot dog museum and she's gonna be in heaven. Anyway,
back to where we were. So that is all of the people that we were going to send on holiday from the Wizarding World, Mel. So let's ship ourselves off on our own holiday because you need one again. I desperately need one at this point.
So what would you do in your holiday or vacation?
Well, I was trying to think of like my ideal place, and I would like to go somewhere that's like warm because I hate being cold, preferably not humid, like just like a nice dry heat. And I would love to go somewhere where it's Christmas all year round, but I want it to be warm.
Warm Christmas.
Yes, a warm Christmas. I know that goes against all my New England roots, and everyone who's from Massachusetts and New England is screaming, "We need snow on Christmas!" I know, I hear you, Mom. I can hear you. You're screaming in the distance that we need snow on Christmas. And I would like to go somewhere where there's lots of fun things to do, because I like being busy during my holiday. Not like in a stressful way, but just like going to activities and like doing things and maybe doing some crafts and maybe going on a tour or a walking tour or something. Or going to a museum. Nothing that's super high stakes. I would like to have like access to like fresh, healthy foods. I know a lot of people like to go on vacation. They're like, "I'm gonna eat all the fried foods." If I do that, my stomach will murder me, and I will not be on vacation anymore. I will be in the ER.
Yeah.
And let's actually enjoy Juliana's vacation, so we're going to eat, like, Whole Foods and stuff like that. And one of the things that I've always wanted to do that I haven't done yet is going on a running vacation. And yes, that's a thing, Mel.
What a surprise.
Yes. You can go to a location and they have running coaches and like planned runs where you can go all these really fun, pretty places and go running with people. So that would be something that I would like to do. But Mel, what is your ideal holiday? What would you like to do that I don't think you got to do really on your actual holiday?
Yeah, I haven't really been able to have proper holiday for 2 years in a row now, thanks to the virus.
Shout out to COVID!
Thank you, pandemic.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking, what do I want in my holiday? And I think it's something I actually want to have every day. And that is, I want to be somewhere where it's not too hot and not too cold. And then I realized, well, that sounds like Finland, and I think that's why I'm here. So my ideal vacation spot is Finland. Every day is holiday.
How convenient.
How convenient. But I usually like to be a lot out in nature and just taking pictures of everything that's moving and not moving. Little insects and birds and fishies and trees and flowers and anything you can think of. So just taking pictures. I do love to climb around old ruins and buildings and just find out what kind of history they have. They have something really interesting about them, and I just love that. And I would like to always try some food. Depending on where I am, I would like to try the traditional regional food that they have. You know, when you go to London, for example, you definitely have to eat one of those baked oven potatoes with beans and stuff like that. Something Ooh. That is like really British, for example.
Oh, so when you come and visit me eventually, Mel, we will have a fluff and nutter sandwich together.
Fluff and nutter?
Fluff and nutter sandwich. Do you know what fluff is?
It's that marshmallow stuff.
Yeah, and you put peanut butter and then you put it on white bread, and that's what you eat, because that's what I grew up with on eating, like when I was a kid.
I have eaten all three of those things never together, though, so that's interesting.
Oh, if you want a sugary head rush of just, like, straight carbohydrates,
yeah.
Put some fluff and some peanut butter on bread, and it's vegan, too, on some bread, and just give it a go. Sometimes if you're feeling really adventurous, you could do, they make a strawberry fluff, or you could put, like, a little bit of jam, but, like, the jam is kind of, like, controversial.
Sweet breakfast is anyway something that we Germans absolutely love and the Finns are grossed out by. Having Nutella on your bread is something that freaks them out.
Really? Interesting.
It's weird to them. Okay, but besides, I was thinking of a specific place actually I would really love to go to someday, and it has a magical, I feel like it's a magical place, and that's Iceland. It's so beautiful. I would just love to go searching for trolls and fairies, just thinking about me being a witch, just having conversations with them and picnics and hanging out, respecting their home, and just being really recharged with magical energy at the end of the vacation, being ready for whatever else comes for the rest of the year when I go back to work and all.
You see, if you went on a vacation with me to Iceland, Mel, the whole time it would just be, "Ja, ja, ding dong, my love for you."
No. I cannot leave that. I have to actually beep that out because that song is naughty.
Well, we would sing Zsa Zsa Ding Dong a lot. And I would also seek out my friend Dadre of Gilgamesh, if I'm pronouncing that incorrectly, which I probably am.
That's fine, though. I cannot pronounce it properly either.
There's too many letters in there that don't look like English letters. And I'm like...
But I honestly feel like I want to go there sometime and just see these beautiful places. And there's so much history to Iceland as well. And mm-hmm. when you have ever read anything about Vikings, there's lots of stories about that as well. So
huzzah, Mel. Okay.
Very nature-driven holiday.
Yeah.
To recharge.
Yeah. Yes. I'm sure they have a running trip that I could go on up there while you're whispering with elves.
You can run around the hills and yeah. let yours. You can, or you can annoy a troll and let you
have it
chased.
Chase me. Yeah. Yeah. I'm sure if I sang Zsa Zsa Ding Dong for the troll, it would get very annoyed very quickly. Well, I think that brings us to the end of our main discussions about magical summer holidays, Mel.
Yeah.
So I guess now we will go into our fun segment of the week, which this week is Sophie's choice. So either Sophie or Mel has selected a word for me to try and pronounce in German.
Of course, I asked Sophie for a word, and she's just, once again, too mean.
Okay.
She chose a very long one, and I will write it down in the doc for you now.
I hope it's not the one that she put in the chat the other day for MuggleNet.
I don't think so. Oh, I made an accidental... Oh, no, it's okay.
Don't purposely screw me up, Mel. If you type it wrong, I don't even have a chance.
So there you go.
Okay, here we go. Flohenswerken Lobster Riskentrag. Flohennetwerker Lobster Riskentrag. Flohennetwerk All of Strayshantarag.
You were throwing some English words in there. I heard a lobster and network.
It says NETZWERK. Network, honey.
If you want, once again, as always, I could separate them.
Yes. Oh, see, network was a word. Flow, network, your brostries, and trog.
Okay, that helped a little bit. You pronounce it Flohnetzwerk Urlaubsreiseantrag. What do you think that could be?
The flu network.
Yes, the first part is right, and I was sure you could possibly guess it. But what's the rest?
Fireplace? Flu powder?
No.
Boom! Fireplace flu network.
What?
Flu network uniting the world.
Yeah. No.
I don't know. Okay. What is it? What's the part that I'm missing, Mel?
So, you were right about the flu network, Flohnetzwerk. And then Urlaubsreise is a vacation.
Uh-huh.
And Antrag is sort of like a request.
Requesting a flu network vacation?
So, basically, you're requesting that you can use the flu network for your vacation so that you can travel.
This is much more of a complex topic than I signed up for. There are conjugated verbs in this thing.
Das Flohnetzwerk Urlaubsreiseantrag.
Urlaubsreiseantrag.
So, thank you for being awful as always, Sophie. Juliana appreciates it and I find it funny.
Yeah, I love to suffer.
There was a lobster in there somewhere, and that was already well worth it. So, then we are having a question from Buttercup.
Hello, dearies. We hope that you had a great summer this far. Why don't you tell us what kind of magical vacation or holiday you would love to go on, and who would you take with you? We would like to share it then on our next episode's feedback.
Well, thank you, Buttercup, for that lovely question. And thank you, listeners, for joining us on this trip.
Yeah, I hope you had fun. We kept it a little bit brief, but send us in your ideas of what you would love to do. I would be really interested in that, and maybe we can take some inspiration for our own vacation for next year.
Yes, I'm still currently looking for a place to apparate to, so just hit me up, let me know.
Ooh, you could give us ideas of what Juliana and me can do when she's in Finland next year.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we can realize some of that.
Yeah, hopefully. Okay, if you would like to get in contact with us, you can listen to us on all platforms where podcasts are found. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at PuffcastPod. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/PuffCast. We are over on TikTok at PuffCast. You can shoot us an email with your magical holiday itinerary at puffcastpod@gmail.com. You can also support us over on Patreon for as little as $2 a month to get exclusive benefits like bloopers, access to our exclusive Facebook group, stickers, and so much more, including our monthly donation to charity, which this month went to help the people in Germany who are suffering from the floods.
We will put the information about that actually into the info box of this episode. So if anyone wants to help, they still need help with rebuilding. And, you know, people have lost their livelihoods, their homes, and some of them have it even harder.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of help needed.
Yeah. So help if you can.
Yeah.
And we would appreciate that. And join us over on Patreon also if you can. We also appreciate that. And if you would like to rate and review us over on Apple Podcasts, you can leave us a review and we will read it here. So until next time, stay puffy.
And badger on your vacation and enjoy the sunshine.
Yay!
Yay! I don't know where that came from, but that's what I want.
I mean, that's fine. I don't have any objections to that.